Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, Yardless, the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the last weekend of summer. Officially, if you're not getting out in your backyard and firing up a grill or smoker, you're missing out. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking in your backyard?
Thanks, buddy. Hey, thanks for joining us. It is the weekend, so it must be the Grilling Guys. And what a show we have for you. All of you would really like to be in the studio right now because we have with us our favorite vintner, Mr. Brian Lesperance from Fen Valley, and the boy came loaded for bear. So we're going to taste a little wine today, Jop. And in the segment after him, we have the legendary George Blaha. And if you don't know who he is, you can turn the radio off right now. And then after that, we're going to cover Operation GI Barbecue with a gentleman named Derek Van Portfleet. And we're going to talk all about how to raise a little money, and he's going to help us do it.
Yeah, awesome. And we're gonna make that all happen. But before we get into any of that, my week looked a little different. I went to a couple grand openings in the little town that I live in, and had the fortune to run into the people from Cole's Garlic Bread that
love
were
that
there.
Stuff.
Love that stuff. And they've got, and I want to turn our listeners onto this because they're just coming out. It's a little golf ball-sized pretzel bun that's got a lump of beer cheese in the center of it. And when you bake, and it's salty on the outside, and when you bake this thing, that cheese gets all molten the inside. And they were sampling these at this grocery store that opened in my area, and I was went back for thirds,
so it's just like the
thirds.
So it's like in some of the pubs they have pretzels, hot fresh pretzels with bar cheese, warm bar cheese.
Right, but it's all
one bite.
Yeah,
nice.
And these things they come pre-cooked, so all you got to do is warm them up. This is going to be the fall tailgate hit of the year.
Well, here,
I see this coming.
Here's
man.
Another hit of the year. Here's a little taste of some. What is this we have here, Brian?
In the U.S., sometimes we just call it Gewürz. It's an Alsatian variety, also made popular in Germany.
Well, that Gewürz for me.
He was waiting all morning to say that.
Hey, dude.
So it's a white wine, and if you're not familiar with it, it's a little bit dry, right?
This is dry. It's often done with a little sweetness, but this is bone dry. Big floral aromatic, almost rose petal on the nose. Slight bit of spice on the finish. If done sweet, it's actually real good with hot food. Although dry like this, I think would be pretty nice with some barbecue.
Well, right. I did hot dogs this week. I think this would go good with hot dogs, too.
Oh, no doubt about that. we spent a lot of time
Did you drink the water before you start drinking the wine, the hot dog water?
I rinsed my mouth out with hot dogs.
It's a classic pairing, really.
Wow.
I did a wonderful, wonderful roast on the open fire outside in, yes, my Dutch oven. And we
Imagine
have to
that.
Use things like that right now because we don't have a kitchen. All we have is the wet bar you put in the basement.
This is just one more convenient excuse to get that damn Dutch oven out.
Well, this
okay?
was the little one. This right. was my little like 10 quart, 8 quart or something. But I had some gorgeous English cut chuck. Blade cut, something like that. Chuck roast in a freezer from that nice Black Angus I got last year from one of our listeners. And so I'm about out of freezer beef if anybody's killing a cow in the near future. So I pulled this thing out and I put it in the Dutch oven. I put in some Thai sweet hot chili sauce. I did a little bit of some Dale's marinade. I did a couple Vidalia.
That stuff's pretty salty. You got to be careful with that Dale's,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
that
I said
stuff,
a little bit. I said
it's got a salt
bit.
Profile to it. It's really good, but I've overdone it a couple times, and, man, it just like brine almost.
Mm.
But anyway.
Well, I probably put the right amount in then because this combination of this Thai chili and the Dale's and gosh. Oh, orange juice. And then a Vidalia. And I threw it on the coals of the fire, and I moved it around about every 40 minutes or so. And after about, I'm going to say 4 hours, that thing is, it was the coolest flavor profile I think I've ever built up on a piece of beef. It was crazy. It had a little hot from the Thai, and it had some sweet from the orange juice. And then the Dales gave it that nice flavor profile, or the flavor enhancers of salt and whatever they put in it.
Right.
And, of course, the Vidalia was just gorgeous. In the last hour, I threw some new potatoes in it. Oh, baby. That was a beautiful fall outdoor camping meal right there.
Right. So one of the things that I just heard, most of the time you don't want to open a Dutch oven in the middle of the cook, right? Because
right.
You want that oven effect and that convective heat that's going on in there. And the Dutch oven itself creates a lot of the heat, and you're cooking from all sides, top, mm-hmm. bottom, all the way around. But you did choose to open it up, but I'm sure it was pretty quick when you dropped the spuds in.
There was enough juice in there because I put a bunch of orange juice in there, and by now I had a brown gravy that I actually had to add some water. And it was the original Dutch oven I got. It doesn't have the lid with the rim on it. It's just an arced lid. So it was literally just sitting in the coals. There was nothing on top of it.
Okay.
So it got all its heat from the bottom. And what a wonderful way to do a roast if you maybe don't have oven space, or if you're out in the woods or whatever, and you just happen to have some piece of beef in the oven, or in the freezer, you could literally throw about anything in there and do that same thing and end up with a pretty awesome result.
Now, how do you keep it from burning, Bob, on the bottom, if all your heat's coming up from the bottom?
I think, the key is learning how many coals to put under it.
Okay.
Use coals, garlic bread. I use coals from the fire. Sorry. It was there.
Yeah. Wow.
Have a drink of that wine.
I am. I'm going to try to swallow that pun right there. But anyway.
It's, getting the right level of coals under it. And, I think those garlic, you could probably do something like that. You could bake those little cheesy breads in a device like that around a campfire, too. And it's that time of year when deer season's ready to pop up. So all those campfire cooks, it's time to start talking about those pretty soon.
And, that's right.
And you're going to hear a lot about my Dutch ovens.
Unfortunately, I know we are. But anyway, you can use your grill as an oven. And that was the cool part about those Coles little bread bites, is that because they're cooked, if you can put them on indirect heat, maybe put them on a top rack of your grill, shut the lid and let them go, they're ready when they're warm, right?
We're tailgating for Wells Fargo next weekend at the Notre Dame MSU game,
right,
at East Lansing, and I think those would be great to bring along.
Well, funny you say that, because I've got it lined up that we're going to have them. We're going to debut them on our tailgates at that event, and I got a couple cases of them coming, because I think they're going to be like candy, man. Is once I like I said, I went back and I had three of these things, and there was dozens of things to sample inside that grocery store. Besides Fenn Valley wine, I was eating Cole's little pretzel cheeses.
Let's work on getting Cole's in here for next weekend's show, so
we can
taste
do that
before we go.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that we're doing that we're not going to spend any time on, because it's kind of against our credo, but we've got some vegan items that we're going to be busting out at both of these tailgates that we're doing on campuses this fall, due to some of our guests prefer to eat a vegan menu. So we'll touch on that a little later, too, because I've learned a lot, and it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it's still vegan. So anyway, coming up next, our friend Brian Lesperance from Fenn Valley Wine. I think he's got four bottles over there that we're going to give a run. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from The Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Oran Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend and listen to our babble a little bit. And hopefully you can pick up a tip or two that'll help you with your tailgate or your backyard parties. But I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, thanks again for joining us. And don't forget, if you are new to the show, check out our website. It's called thegrillinguys.com. And you can check us out on Facebook / The Grillin' Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy. But when you go to our website, if you would like, we'll send you a podcast of the show if you can't listen when it's played in your market. And you just go up to the upper right-hand corner and look for the headset, click on, and get on.
There we go, man. Well, this is one of my favorite times of year, the fall, when air gets a little bit crisp.
Yeah,
and it means
a lot
of things to a lot of different people. But today what it means to me is that it's harvest time, which is always one of our fun conversations when we bring in our favorite vintner, Brian Lesperance from Fenn Valley Winery. Brian, welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Hey, you're right. We're glad you're here, too. You brought four chilled bottles of wine for us to sample, so you're popular.
My mouth is just exploding with this. What are we trying right now?
All right, so we started out in the first segment with some Gewürztraminer, which is a classic European grape, and then we moved into a grape called Traminette, which is has Gewürztraminer as one of its parents. So it's got all the same characteristics, but kind of amped up a little bit. You've kind of mentioned that, Bob.
Yeah,
it's pretty intense.
Hops.
It's blended, crossed rather, with a grape from North America. So it's got all the nice complexity of Gewürztraminer, but it's got some DNA that makes it survive a little easier in our harsh environment.
Really?
Here in Michigan.
Oh,
so Brian, is this a single grape wine or is it a blend?
Yeah, Traminette is a single wine. It's actually the or grape. It's the designated grape of Indiana. They made this cross back, I think, it was in the 60s, and then they sent it over to Cornell for refinement and marketing.
Kidding.
And so it's relatively new.
Is that something where they do grafting then?
This wouldn't be grafted. This would be crossed. So think like the old
cross
fruit fly experiment,
okay.
You know, when you were in high school, kind of a thing. So put the two
Bob
next
missed
to each
that
other.
Part.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that explains.
I've got
a lot
of fruit flies in my house right now.
Yeah, we have a lot at the winery.
We finally got a front door. So.
Yeah, no, we have a lot at the winery right now. You have to breathe through your teeth right now.
Yeah.
So, Brian, how has the growing season been this summer, and what's the harvest look like?
It's been good. You know, it's we had a good winter, so we got everything through. Big crops. We're hanging a lot of fruit out there, which is, makes it a little nerve-wracking right now, because what we need is just what everybody else likes for tailgating and grilling. 70, 75, sunny during the day, cool off in the 50s at night to really help ripen the fruit. So in Michigan, we say that the vintages are made in September, so we're right in the thick of it here, and we're hoping
so this,
for
it. This finishes... This has a lot to do with how that grape will finish then.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the work that we do is pretty much over. It's up to Mother Nature. You know, we're set up well, and it's all going to depend on what kind of weather we get from now until really the end of October. We harvest right up until early November sometimes.
And you kind of had the perfect amount of rain?
Yeah, rain was fine. You know, grapevines don't need a lot of rain, so it's not too big of a concern of ours. A lot of rain just makes more work, frankly. But we had decent, you know, rain. It was... Fenville got a little less than you folks got up in the Grand Rapids area, but enough for grapevines.
Fenville is a southwest Michigan location. There's a, if you're listening, there's a, it's a little town. It's on the map that is really Brian's business is one of the reasons to go to Fenville, because not only the beautiful tasting room that he has, but it's a huge production facility, as well as the vineyards there are just beautiful, and they have, you can do picnicking out in there, and in the summer you had concerts and things, so just a fabulous place. Brian,
yeah, what a great atmosphere.
Is there a website people could go to?
There is, Bob, yeah. We do everything at fenvalley.com, so that's where you sign up for tours, you sign up for our events there. In fact, we got a really neat event coming up on October 7th, which is our vine wine. So if you're interested in getting a little exercise before sampling wine.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I know.
That?
It's not for everybody.
Awful.
Well, here's the other thing. There's just a party, too. So you can just show up and watch
and what
the
time
suffering.
Is that second
we just
part
show
start?
Up a little right. late. I was towing my smoker.
Depends. If I'm running the 5K, it could be a couple days after the start. But for most people, it's usually about 30 minutes after the start. Gun goes off, the runners start coming back. But there'll be a handful that'll just come to watch the suffering and enjoy some
sure,
wine.
Sure, right.
So if you go to thegrillingguys.com and you look on the right side of our website, you'll see all our sponsors on the right. Fen Valley is one of our original sponsors, and you'll see their new improved logo. Click on that link. It'll take you right to their site. You can sign up for the newsletters, which are great because you're very faithful about putting those out on a regular basis. And it's just, it's cool to stay connected with a winery and a vineyard that is so prolific, and you're so active in the community and in the state of Michigan. You guys produce a lot of wine, and the tour is worth it in this case. Many times I say, forget the tour, go to the tap room or the tasting room. This tour you want to take, because this is a mammoth facility. It's gigantic.
Brian, pair this stuff up with some food with us, because time and time again, when we hear from the listeners, it's like, you know what? I don't know what wine to drink with what food. So we've covered two of them, the Gewurz and this other one. Help us out. What you might recommend?
Yeah. So both of these are in the same category. I'd call them aromatic white wines. You know, the big smells when you swirl around the glass. Kind of strong flavors throughout. So they can stand up to some food. You know, a lot of your lighter white wines, you got to kind of watch that you don't get too much spice in there. But these wines could stand up to a little spice.
So back that up just a minute.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by what?
Stand up to your...
Well, it's easy to overwhelm a more delicate white wine. Let's just say Pinot Grigio, which I love. But you put that with a piece of barbecue chicken or some steak that's got some seasoning on it, it's just going to get blown over. But these
wines... So it'll taste kind of bland.
Flat, yeah, because the food's just got too much intensity. But these
so
wines...
So if you have something really, really like flavorful, maybe a little on the spicy side, this is what you want to pair.
Yeah,
with.
These have got more punch to them for a white. I also like both of these with smoked food, too, like a smoked trout or smoked whitefish dip. That floral aromatic just seems to pair in real nice with the smokiness of the food. So it's one of my favorite pairings.
And the cool part about this is, guys, if you're listening, is that you just need to try this, okay? This isn't some. These aren't $40 bottles of wine.
Right.
These are affordable bottles of wine for $12 or $15 or $20, depending on where you buy it. You can try these pairings, and you'll be amazed at what Brian's saying and how you really, if you buy two or three different bottles and you do two or three different dishes, the flavor of the wine changes with the food that you're having on your palate. Actually, the wine is stable, but your palate changes with it. And it's just kind of a cool thing. Give it a try, because what I like, maybe Bob doesn't, maybe Brian doesn't, and it's a personal thing, but it's always fun to know that we'll put you in a category of where you want with these wines, and then just mess around with the dishes that you're making.
What I've noticed in going to Fen Valley for so many years and having Brian, or before that, Doug on the show, is that the more I try the wider variety of their products, the more I find that I just kind of like all of them. They don't have, really, but they don't have wines that I take a taste of and go, oh, man, I'd never drink that. It's just so many of them are, I don't know, dialed in, balanced, or whatever. And I think that's the safe part for a consumer. If you're out in the market looking for that right selection, if it says Fen Valley on it, and I am kind of, I'm tooting their horn, but it's just a fact. It's the way it is. It's a safe, wonderful, fantastic product that's made, you know, right here in Michigan.
So, Brian, I know that you grow a lot of the grapes, but you also custom blend wines with other people's grapes as well. Is this year, what are you seeing as your, like, go-to wine that, boy, we really got to put this together, and we feel that this harvest is going to be, because we're drinking last year's wine this year, right? So you're opening some of this stuff for the first time. What did you see from last year that's great this year now that's been bottled?
Yeah, last year was a fantastic year. We had good ripening, very efficient ripening, which means lower acidity wines. They're more drinkable, younger in their lives. So all these whites have come out of the chute just like they had 2-3 years of age on them, just soft, smooth, ready to go, the fruit's popping. So it was a very, very good ripening year last year, very efficient. If we could get a year like that every year, we'd be pretty happy.
Cool.
That's wonderful.
Coming up next, Michigan State versus Notre Dame is in a week, but we've got a guy that's going to break it down for us. Maybe you've heard of him, a little George Blaha. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
We live it. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it is the fall season and tailgate is upon us. Barbecue Bob and I got a little gig at the Notre Dame-Michigan State game, and not today, but a week from today. And Michigan State's got a bye this week, and we were fortunate enough to get one of your buddies on the line, Bob.
That's right. On the live line right now, the grilling line is the ever-present George Blaha. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Fellas, great to be on with you. Nice to have a weekend off, I think. Although the Spartans were playing well going into it, sometimes you'd rather just keep on playing. But,
yeah.
Hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, so what's your take on how the Michigan State Spartans are looking this year?
Well, I think you always have to look at the quarterback first and foremost, at least on the offensive side of the ball. And Brian Lewerke gets some kind of an A grade. It was A minus or an A. He's not up to A plus yet, maybe, but it looks like he will be. Needs to polish up his passing just a little bit, but as a field general, he's very composed, very together. Seems to see what the defense is doing, and knows when he can take advantage of the defense with that 4.6 speed of his. So he's a positive. The defensive line's been very good. Of course, you know they have that three-headed monster running back of L.J. Scott and Gerald Holmes and Madre London. And on the defensive side of the ball, if I'm not mistaken, they have allowed 3 third-down conversions in 28 tries. That's a phenomenal number. And they haven't allowed a touchdown yet. The defense has, and they got a couple special teams touchdowns last week from Darius Phillips of Western Michigan. But this is a team that seems to be very solid on both sides of the ball. And if you look at the defensive leader, it's probably got to be Joe Bocci, the middle linebacker, and he's led him in tackles in the first two games.
So, George, what do you think of this Notre Dame game coming up?
Well, number one, it's sad. This is a great rivalry, and they're not going to play again for a number of years. That's unfortunate, but the 66 guys who are able to make it from both teams are going to get together the weekend of the game to commemorate that famous 10-10 tie that was the first, and maybe in my mind, still the only game of the century. And as far as Notre Dame's concerned, they have a defense that seems to be much like in terms of the way they run around and get after you, a lot of the great defenses in the country, they seem quicker than they have been on defense. And, you know, I think offense for Notre Dame is still kind of a work in progress, but they have players. We know that.
Well, it's going to be a fantastic game, and that's really cool that they're doing that to get together to commemorate. I have not heard that in Well, I was not aware of that, but
yeah, there. As a matter of fact, fellas, there's a pizza party for the players at the Spartan S Club inside the stadium Friday night, and then on Saturday at noon at the Hall of Fame Cafe, the guys will be there, and there'll be kind of a program for the fans of both teams. So It should be a special weekend.
That's awesome. Hey, George, we're going to be on the south lot from noon until kickoff. So we're tailgating with Wells Fargo, and if you would like to stop in, there's lots of Michigan State alum there that would sure love to shake your hand. But we'd like to get you some brisket and maybe a little bit of butt.
Oh, a little bit of brisket would be nice. You guys, I'll save the cold ones for after the game.
That's fine. We've got a menu that'll blow your mind. So please join us. Stop in and say hi to the fans.
You guys are in the W lot. That used to be the T lot right outside the south end zone.
That's correct.
Yes.
We have a big tent that says the Grilling Guys on it. You can't miss it.
Yeah.
And we're usually up on the edge of the road there. But at the end of the day, would love to invite you by and next week and just shake a hand or two and make sure you've got great food.
Yeah, your counterpart for the
right.
for the basketball team shows up. The Michigan State announcer for the men's basketball, can't think of his name, but he shows up every year. But we'd love to have you.
Well, great. Nice invitation, and we'll see what happens. But I know whoever does show up will eat good, as as my friends used to say.
Yeah, that's right. I'll pass this on to Wendy and give you our coordinates. George, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with us today.
Okay, happy to be on with you guys. Enjoy another weekend of college football. And, yeah, that Michigan State-Notre Dame game very well could be a classic. There have been a lot of them in the past. Let's hope this one's just as good.
Yeah, and while we're at it, you've been in college football for how many years?
Around 40.
Around 40. We have affiliates
before
out.
That, of course, I was a fan.
Yeah, we have affiliates on the East Coast, a bunch of Rutgers fans. What kind of hope does Rutgers have of turning that thing around this year?
Well, you know, one of these years they're going to be very formidable because there's so many good football players in New Jersey. Just kind of, they've talked about this before, but they need to build a fence around New Jersey and keep all the good players there. So the Shalik Calhouns of the world, you know, who came and starred at Michigan State, don't get away. But Chris Ash is a good coach, and you know, I think probably before this year is over, you're going to have to be careful of Rutgers.
Oh, that's good to hear. All right. George Blaha, the legend of Michigan State, the voice of the Spartans, thanks so much for joining us today on The Grillin' Guys.
Great to be out with you guys.
Okay, buddy.
That's so cool he takes a minute to spend with us each year because he's a busy guy. And
Boy, he is.
But it's a lot of fun to have an opportunity to talk to George and get his insights on what's going on. A guy with 40 years of broadcast experience has seen a lot of games.
Well, he's just a terribly nice guy.
Right, and he still gets up for this. You know what I mean? You could tell there was excitement in his voice. We got a bye week this week for the Sparties, but you know, he's ready.
He doesn't like that bye week.
Right, yeah, right.
No.
Yeah,
because they can be dangerous.
Right. Well, right? Your momentum is, I think.
That whole team might be sitting around, you know, thinking they might be needing to go to Fenn Valley or something like that. And that could really set them back.
Right, and we should just help them with that.
They tie into this Capriccio that we're trying. Tell us about this Capriccio.
So that's another red, this is a red wine, dry red wine, but it's popular for what it doesn't have. So it's lacking the two things that a lot of people who don't like red wine complain about. One of those would be tannin, that astringency that kind of dries your mouth out. Capriccio is real low in that, so it's real fruity.
I don't necessarily need tannin.
Well, it's an antioxidant, though, Bob, so it helps keep you going longer. Okay. But in this case, the lack of it makes it a smoother, more fruit-forward wine.
That's probably what I like about it.
Yeah, it's real. It pairs with food well because you don't have that astringency factor to kind of come in there and interfere with your taste buds, but also it's not oaked. So it's just the fruit. So it's a very straightforward, very fruit-centric wine.
When you say it's not oaked, most of your red wines are fermented in oak barrels, and this one isn't? Is that what you mean?
Most reds are aged in oak. So originally oak was one of the few woods that would hold liquid and didn't impart a whole lot of flavor, so it kind of became used for a lot of liquid storage. And in the U.S. in particular, and in some of the older wine drinking areas, you know, oak is the predominant wood used for storage of red wine. It's not required anymore necessarily, but we've acquired a taste for it. And I certainly like the oaked wines as well, but this one, you know, just takes a more straightforward, more fruit-centric approach.
And how many times can you use those barrels?
You can use them until they leak, but you only get the flavor the first time.
Okay.
I mean, some flavor maybe in subsequent
years.
There's
a cool term for the guys that make those barrels. What is it?
Coopers.
Yeah,
they're called Coopers. Yeah.
That's cool.
I wouldn't. That's a good name if you're a Cooper.
I'm a Cooper.
Yeah.
Right. Used to be a farrier.
But, I mean, you're a professional griller.
Yeah, we know
so
what you used to be.
Cool
right,
too.
Yeah. Exactly. But that's cool, and so those oak barrels, what do you do with them when you're done with them?
Well, they get used for a lot of projects around the winery, furniture, end tables, that sort
of thing.
Make
great patio tables.
They
do.
They can, yeah, they can.
Awesome. Exactly. Brian Lesperance, Fenn Valley, sure appreciate you chiming in and talking to us about that a little bit more.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to a guy named Derek Van Portfleet, who's going to do something special for our Operation GI Barbecue. You're not going to want to miss this. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys?
Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're having as much fun as we are, and you've got plans to get out and create a little tailgate, maybe drink a little red wine or maybe some white wine from Fen Valley, because that will set the mood. And I'm Jop, he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
It adds to the ambiance.
It does.
Thanks for joining us. It is the Grilling Guys. We want to talk a little bit about Operation GI Barbecue.
Right. We've talked to you all about this and put it out there a couple times that we just got to punch this thing over the goal line, and that is we need to get transportation so that we've got the grills, we've got the smokers, we've got the charcoal, the sauce, the rubs, and we need to get that out to Camp Pendleton.
That's
in California.
That's right. And so in teeing this up properly, I'll give you a little update on what's happened this last week. This last week, I've been communicating back and forth with this fella. Let's just call him Chris, and he's in charge of MCRD, which is the Marine Corps Museum. I don't know what it all stands for, but basically, he's the main man for the Marine Corps, the civil side of the Marine Corps Museum. They handle a giant association or foundation, and he's the one that's going to receive the property. He's getting the clearances from a two-star general that's going to allow us to ship this product onto the base and form this cool little relationship that we're trying to form. Now, we've been dragging this on for quite a while because dealing with the military is, let's just say, cumbersome.
Well, it's rightfully secure.
We
okay?
should send
I'm just
Brian
go
out
there.
There. Let's send Brian out
right,
there.
Right, yeah,
little
with
bit
a couple
of
bottles, things would start flowing
would, like,
crazy.
Those guys would grease that track.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Chris has this all set up now, approved by this two-star general, and he's now trying to set up the logistics so that we can deliver. And when we deliver, Jop and I are going to go, and we're going to actually fly in on a Thursday. We're going to fly back home on a Sunday, but we're going to fly in there, and we're going to freight this stuff out in advance. We're going to cook for a bunch of GIs, and we're going to teach a bunch of chefs how to use it, and then we're going to come home. So this just takes massive coordination, believe it or not, going across the country with all this equipment. So we're really close to having a permanent date on this, and getting freight and a few of these expenses covered is what we've been trying to do. So we talked about this a couple weeks in a row, and I get an email from this fella who says, hey, my name's Derek, and I heard you guys are still short on cash. I want to help you out. Right now, we have Derek Van Portfleet in studio to tell us what's on his mind.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Yeah, Sunday I saw you were still $5,000 in the hole. Both my grandfathers fought in World War II. My mom's father fought in the European theater. My dad's dad fought in the Philippines. And I've always had respect for our troops, and they pay the price for our freedom. So I thought that, geez, I'll just hit up these guys and see if they possibly could use some T-shirts. And lo and behold, you do. So here I am, and I'm going to donate 72 shirts to your cause, and hopefully you can turn that into some stacks of cash.
Right. We're looking to sell these T-shirts for whatever it is you think they're worth, guys. We're going to suggest $25 a piece just because we're raising money to put this thing over the edge. But
that'll cover freight, too. We're going to put them on the website. You can go to gibbq.com. You can go to thegrillingguys.com. We'll put them up on the website and help in that effort.
Got a really cool logo that we put together for this thing, and they're going to be out there, and you can proudly wear one of these shirts and show your support to GI Barbecue. I feel like we pander a little bit on this, but dang it, it's worth it.
It's not pandering when it's charity.
Right.
I mean, I kind of feel the same way, but, you know, it's not like we're saying, hey, give us money. This is not for us. It's not for our cause. It's for our kids, our troops, GIs that are around the world that might get, you know, a little better day once because they got to cozy up next to a great big American Barbecue Systems judge smoker that's spitting out a bunch of butts and briskets, and all of a sudden they're feeling like, gosh, somebody noticed I'm here.
Right.
When they've got bullets and IEDs and bombs and roadside bombs and crap happening to them that you all can't imagine, and they're coming home with PTSD, they got all kinds of issues, and this fella named Derek, and it's not Derek and the Dominoes, but that's where you got your name from, right?
That is correct. That's where Dad got the inspiration for my name.
Hey, we all got to be inspired. Right?
That's right. Yeah. Yep. So good for him. He got inspired, obviously. So what do you call you have a screen printing business.
That's correct.
What do you call it?
It's Moonlicht Screen Printed Graphics. Moonlicht is old Gaelic for moonlight, and there were just too many moonlights, so I did Moonlicht.
There's no Gaelic like old Gaelic.
Yeah, right. the wife is about half Irish, so yeah, there's a little Gaelic in the house.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my wife's got a little bit of that too, so I understand. I think if you have that much Irish, you're full-blown.
That's correct. You know, guys, freedom isn't free, and my wife and I last June, she surprised me. We're diehard Tigers fans, which right now is very painful, but
excruciating.
She surprised me with a 3-day trip to San Diego to go see a 3-day series of the Tigers playing the Padres.
Cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of people would say that's a lot of baseball, but we loved it. And Sunday was Military Appreciation Day. And the second oldest survivor of Pearl Harbor throughout the first pitch. And the stands were full of warriors.
Wow. I'm getting goosebumps.
Okay. So the whole stadium was full of these tattooed badasses hugging on their 1-2-year-old kids and kissing on their pregnant wives. And they're going to bad places.
Yeah.
Or they've been to bad places and they're going back. So that is another thing that really inspired me to help donate to this cause, a small token of my appreciation to
see
those guys.
If you're trying to get the connection there, Camp Pendleton is right just outside of San Diego. So there are a ton of Marines in Camp Pendleton. Quite a few Navy guys, too, there.
Yeah.
Actually, a few Air Force and Army.
There were a lot of whites. There were a lot of tan dress uniforms. Yep. There was one whole section that was all Marines in dress unis. Just to see that big square of that brown up there was like, holy smokes.
So you heard us trying to get some help, and you thought of your trip, and you looked out your airplane window.
And when we were leaving San Diego, I had a window seat because I get a little nauseous in the plane, and I got to, you know, look at the horizon. So I looked down, and there were circles of men with their hands on each other's shoulders marching in circles in this sand, this dusty sand, and their backpacks and everything were in a huge pile. And I said to my wife, those guys are going to a bad place. Those guys are going to go to, you know, they're marching all morning in this dusty, sandy dirt to acclimate to desert climate or whatever. And as we were taking off, it was like, those are the guys that protect us, you know?
So. Right.
And they asked, they volunteered.
Right.
They weren't forced to do it.
No, there's no draft right now that I'm aware of. So
right. Yeah.
No, so you're getting the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Operation GI Barbecue does is it says, hey, we're gonna pick a group of these and just give them a little blessing. We're gonna drop in on them and bring this big Kansas City smoker in. We're gonna teach their cooks how to make barbecue. And guess what? Their standard of living is gonna automatically just go up. It's going to skyrocket. We're going to bring them some American Stockyard barbecue sauce. We're going to just try and help their lives. Parker barbecue, Parker charcoal. It's a really tough one to say with three of these Capricios. Parker Pure Mountain Charcoal. There's a tongue twister.
There you go. But anyway, we've got a lot of people that have pitched in with this, and we hope that just go to thegrillingguys.com and or gibbq.com. And you know what? We've asked for straight-up donations. Now we're going to give you a little bit back. We got some T-shirts that we will exchange with you for a donation to the cause, because we're going to make this happen,
yep.
And we will do this, and we want to do it with you.
And we're going to stretch our delivery time out to maybe November or December. Maybe we can get it in there just early December, late November. I hate the thought of late November because it's deer season, but either way, between now and then, we're going to have one event, and we're going to have these shirts there so that we can meet with everybody and raise a little bit of dough for the end of this session. And then we're going to start next year's version. And
absolutely.
That next load is going to Charleston, and we've got the go-ahead for that too. So the Marines are going to get a nice gift. Thanks so much to Derek and Moonlicht Productions. We sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. Glad to be a part of it, guys.
Coming up next, it's a little bit of man law, and we might have a little more wine. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Today is going to be the absolute longest man law we have ever done, Jop, in 7 years. We've been doing this 7 years. Cheers. Cheers to you, buddy.
Hey, yeah. But this is a good one. I read it, and I agree with it because I've been on the wrong end of this.
You have. Before. I know you have, because right. I've heard your tales from a certain couple of your buddies.
Right.
When a man is borrowing a buddy's tool or other equipment, if the borrower puts any scratches or brings it back with any noticeable wear, then he's required to do one of the following. If the item costs under $50, you're required to replace it. If the item costs over $50, you're required to give him a case of beer. Because, hey, who wants to spend more than $50 on something that isn't yours?
Right.
I remember you and I borrowed, your one buddy, I won't say his name, we borrowed some of his stuff to take to our first deer camp, and none of it worked.
Right.
So we brought it back just as busted as we borrowed it.
Right. Yeah. That's the other thing is that, you know, I kind of pride myself taking care of my stuff, right? And if you're going to lend it out to a buddy, you kind of want your stuff to come back the way it was left, right?
And there are friends that'll bring it back in three different ways. It'll be worse, it'll be the same, or it'll be better.
Right. And I'm the better guy, right? Is I want to clean it. I want to clean it better than you had it clean when I got it, and I want it to function and work because I may want to borrow it again.
That's the key.
Right? But at the end of the day, I'm not
sure
that
subliminally
that
in the back of their mind.
Yeah.
Don't just think they're a good Samaritan. No, they're setting themselves up for another borrow.
Speaking of doing it again, our friend Brian Lesperance, Fen Valley Winery, we appreciate each and every time that you come to the show and share with us your great products. If people want to find you, how do they do that?
Well, we're all over the state of Michigan in stores, obviously, so that's awesome. Convenient. But if you want to venture over to Southwest Michigan, we are just off of 196 south of Saugatuck. We also have a tasting room in downtown Saugatuck, so if you're down there doing
right, that's a stuff, great point.
You're right there.
Yeah.
But you know, especially in the fall, people come down and pick apples at some of our neighbors' properties and then head over and try some wine afterwards. So you can kind of make an afternoon of it as we get into the fall season. So
how many varietals do you have, Brian?
Oh, shoot. We probably make wine from about 40 different types of grapes every year.
Yeah.
We pump out about 50 different products, including some nice hard ciders, too.
Hidden gem, ladies and gentlemen. Hidden
that's
gem
just,
right there,
that's
man.
Crazy.
You can go to one winery and taste 40 different varietals, and I'm going to tell you what, you don't want to miss it.
No, and we've had the pleasure of knowing Brian and his family for like 7 years now.
Right.
So we've had the inside track. We've gotten the backroom tours, the buddy tours, not just, you know, with a group, but sometimes him or Doug or somebody. And it's even better when you have a personal connection with a company like this because, I don't know, I've learned so much about wine, I guess, is the big deal.
Well, and we're going to have to adjust that man law then. It's going to have to involve beer or maybe a six-pack of wine. What do you think?
I was thinking that as I read it.
I thought you might pick up on it, actually. Right.
Well, I don't like to molest, you know, patented product like that.
There
so.
It is. There, okay.
Bob just, doesn't write the
I'll
man
I'll write laws. A new one.
Right.
I'll write a new one.
There
just
you go.
For,
right. There,
yeah,
there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Derek, thanks for joining us. Thanks for stepping up with a donation to the Operation GI Barbecue effort, man. It's little guys like you that make a big difference in what we're doing.
And do you have like a GI or a family member you want to give a little shout out to right now? Maybe like your wife?
Yeah, sure. I love you, Emily.
There you go.
There you go.
That's a great name too.
All right.
Gotta be Irish.
You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. Derek, Brian, thanks for making time with us couple knuckleheads, Barbecue Bob. We're going to be tailgating next weekend, so you're going to want to check it out. We appreciate you tuning in, and we'll talk with you next week.